Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, friends. Happy Friday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. Just a moment, we're going to be joined by Carmen Vitale. A couple things to get to before we get there, though. First and foremost, Admirals game coming up this coming Saturday. Myself, George Kuntz, Robert Brooks, Ed West, Q&A, meet and greet, hockey game. What more do you want? I'm going to be a human hockey puck. That's probably worth it in and of itself. So make sure to check that out. Link in the notes below. Also, shout out to Dutch Mafia for becoming a brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. Make sure to check out those memberships if you have not done so already. Extra Q&A, extra videos. It's all worth it. So make sure to do that when you have a chance. Also, like, subscribe, comment, five-star reviews. Those always help the channel a ton. Let's get to our Packers injury report presented by Habish Rotier. Starting from a Packers side of things, good news overall for the Packers, all right? Only, what, five players that were in this injury report in any capacity? Jaire Alexander, full participant. So no sort of legitimate setback here, at least any note on any sort of setback, nothing, right? You just practiced in full. Does that mean he's going to play on Monday? No, because he practiced in full last week and did not play last week. So they're going through the testing data. They are making sure Jaire feels 100%. They're making sure they feel 100% about it. They are giving this the time and I guess the appropriate time that it needs to heal this time so that he hopefully can be 100% and not have it be an issue like it was when he played in Chicago, played a handful of snaps, felt it tighten up, aggravated it, and then it left him out for another significant period of time. They don't want that to happen again. So who knows whether or not he'll play against New Orleans this week at home, but he is a full participant. That's overall a good sign. Corey Ballantyne was limited. He played last week in a limited capacity, but still, I'm certainly not super concerned about that at this point. I'm assuming he'll be good to go. Luke Musgrave continued to practice. Remember, he is still on the injured reserve list. They've opened the 21-day window, but have not activated him as of yet. Still limited. Would be my guess is that they probably give him through those 3 weeks and let him see where he's at. There's no reason to push him at this point. You would love to get him back in some game action prior to the start of the playoffs, just to get him again reacclimated within the offense and everything like that. But for now, my guess is he probably doesn't play against New Orleans, but he practiced in a limited capacity as well. And then Javon Bullard and Quay Walker both did not practice. We'll see if there's any upgrades to either of them through the course of this week. But once again, my guess would be is they will stay incredibly cautious with those injuries through the course of the next really 3 weeks. And I'm not saying that they're going to sit out for 3 weeks or anything like that. I'm just saying in general, over the next 3 weeks, my guess is that the Packers are going to be extremely cautious when it comes to injuries. So as to whether or not any of these players play, Ballantyne, I feel good about. Musgrave, I would doubt. Bullard and Walker, I'd be pretty stunned by. And Jaire, your guess is as good as mine. That one feels like a real coin flip as to whether or not maybe this is the week that he's good to go, or if they still kind of pump the brakes and say, what are we rushing him back for? Those will be the interesting injury updates for Green Bay. From a Saints standpoint, they had multiple players that did not practice. Derek Carr, Alvin Kamara, Bub Means, the wide receiver, MVS, the wide receiver, of course, former Packer, and Chase Young. Chase Young's was just due to illness. You would assume that that's probably going to get better by Monday. Limited were Juwan Johnson, Kool-Aid McKinstry, and Chris Olave, who they did activate off of IR. So his 21-day window is open. His odds of playing, we're going to have to kind of keep an eye on through the course of this week. They did announce, they being the Saints in this scenario, did announce that Spencer Rattler is going to be the starting quarterback. Derek Carr is not expected to play. He will be out for this game, and Jake Haener will be the backup. If you're wondering about Taysom Hill, just remember he's on IR and done for the season as well. So Spencer Rattler will be the starting quarterback announced by the Saints. And then Alvin Kamara was reported is not expected to play in this game for New Orleans. A huge loss for them. Kamara has always been really good against Green Bay, so that definitely is a massive loss for the Saints. Now, time to have our chat with Carmen Vitale. We are being joined now by Carmen Vitale. Of course, you can find her on Fox Sports. She's got the podcast. She's a reporter. She's nationwide. She's kind of a big deal. You can find her on Twitter at Carmi V. Carmen, it's great to be chatting with you. Once again, it's been too long. How have you been doing?
I know. It has been too long. I'm good. How are you?
I am fantastic. Ready for the holidays. Ready for Packers Saints. There's 3 weeks left in this season, Carmen. How the heck did that happen?
I don't know. It always happens like that. After Thanksgiving, everything just like goes warp speed, I feel like, towards the end of the season.
It's ridiculous. I want to start off by just kind of asking you to walk through the state of this NFC North. All right, let me give you a couple things really quick here. Packers, okay. Vikings, and Lions not facing each other are 30 and 4 against the rest of the NFL. Lions lost to the Buccaneers in week 2 and the Bills, of course, last week. Packers lose to the Eagles in week 1. Vikings lose to the Rams in week 8. All of their other losses are against each other. 30 and 4 against teams not named the Vikings, Lions, and Packers, which is insane. The Packers' losses, they have 4 of them, of course, are 3rd in the division. Their losses are to teams with a combined record of 36-6. All of them are 12-2 on the season. And if you want to combine the Lions twice, 48-8 is the record of the Packers' 4 losses so far this season. It is a ridiculously stupid NFC North. Your thoughts on the state of that division right now?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of what I expected out of this division. And it's interesting, too. I feel like this season in particular, just league-wide, it's the story of the haves and the have-nots, like more than we've ever seen, because there's 9 teams that have 4 or less wins. And then, but by contrast, there's 6 teams already that have double-digit wins. And so you're like, there's nothing in the middle. It's basically like you're either really, really bad or you're really, really good. And it just so happens that 3 of the really, really good teams are in the NFC North. And the fact that the Packers only have 4 losses and are 3rd in the division is just, it's pretty incredible. But the fact that the Lions already have 12 wins and aren't comfortable with winning, like they're not at, they're not comfortable with their positioning in the
They could end up with, you're right.
Like, they can't, like, they're not running away with the division. The Vikings are right there too. The Lions own the tiebreaker, but just barely. So it's like, it's wild to think that 12 wins 16 weeks into the season is, or 15 weeks technically, isn't good enough to really secure you either the first seed in the conference or even the division at this point. It's incredible. And the poor Bears, because like they're surrounded by like the best coaches in the league, by the best teams in the league. And like, it just exacerbates how bad they look. I feel like, cause they're just like, by contrast, every other team in their division has it completely figured out almost.
If they were in like the AFC South or something like that, or like a division like that, like they'd probably be fine. Like, I don't know that they'd be like great or good, or I don't think they'd be lighting the world on fire, but you're probably talking about like a 7-10 team, like maybe even like an 8-9 team in the right division. Like they walked into 6 losses in the division. Basically, I know they're not done yet. They've got the Lions this week. They got the Packers at the end of the year, but that's probably 6 losses just handed to them right at the start of the season. And then obviously had a tough schedule outside of that as well. Yeah. Not ideal for Chicago. I'm very curious your thoughts on where you come out on this discussion.
Okay. All right.
Division winners get in the playoffs. We know that. Yeah. Are you good with the 3rd and 4th teams in the division winners getting the 3rd and 4th seed? Or should it be, right now, if you were kind of to reseed it, it would be Lions 1, Eagles 2, Vikings 3, Packers 4, and then Rams, Bucks, and then Commanders, whatever it ends up being. Like, should they reseed it based on a record, or are you good with the way that it is as of now?
It's interesting because, I mean, this is the same debate that they're having in college football right now too, right? Where it's like the big time conference winners, how much do you put stock in that? And I feel like there's obviously a lot more parity in college. So I think that conversation is warranted in college. In the NFL, I mean, you need to kind of pick a lane. It's like, can any team beat any team any week? Or are we saying like, we should put stock in the fact that they won a better division and the records and all of that kind of stuff. I think either way, there'd be pros and cons to it, because like, if you start out as like the 6th seed, even though you won your division, and then you have to go against, the 3rd seed, and that, like, I don't know. I don't feel like it makes as much of a difference especially when it comes time to playoffs. Like, teams behave completely differently too. True. So it's like, I don't know. I think while we've seen more parity in the NFL this year, I just, I, I feel like winning the division has to mean something, no matter if that division is less competitive or more competitive and all that kind of stuff. And like, at the end of the day, to win the more competitive divisions, you're going to end up getting the higher seeds anyway, of the top four seeds. So it's like, if you're, cause like, it's going to take, like I was just talking about, it's going to take 14 wins to win the NFC North. So that's going to put you at the first or the second seed. Obviously if they lose, then you could end up in the fifth seed. But like, if you finish with 14 wins, you're getting one of the top seeds in the conference. So I think it's fine, I guess is what I'm a long winded way of saying. I think it's fine.
Fair enough. I see. To me, like I'm fine with you win your division, you get in the playoffs, you punch your ticket, you get in. But to me, what's more impressive, if you finished like, you know, with two or three losses like Minnesota potentially will, and finish second in the NFC North in the division of death, or that you finished on top of the NFC West, or the NFC South is probably a better example, right?
If you switch
like Green Bay and Tampa, or Minnesota and Tampa, like I don't think Tampa's sitting at where Green Bay or Minnesota is, whereas I think Minnesota or Green Bay just walk away with the NFC South like easily. Right. So I don't know. It's not a huge deal. It's not anything, you know, we probably need to discuss more than that. But I do, and again, I'm not just saying this because Green Bay is in a disadvantageous situation. I do in general feel like there should be, I'm cool with you getting in. Like you win your division, punch your ticket. Yeah. That's awesome. But then maybe reset. But I don't know. Like you said, it's not going to really, they're going to crown a really good champion at the end of the day, no matter what, based on the scenarios that they have right now. And it's, again, you don't probably need to reinvent the wheel. And this is exactly what the NFL wants is, you know, people talking about it, maybe a drama. Does the worst team have to go on the road stay at home against maybe a better team? Like, I don't know. It's all the NFL. It's what more could you possibly want? Let's talk Packers Seahawks really quick before we start getting into a couple other topics here. Your takeaways from the Packers in this one and them going into Seattle, winning 30-13 and really having this game not really ever be close, especially in the second half. Do you know what makes the holiday season even better? You guessed it, winning. And right now on Prize Picks, you can win up to 1,000 times your money. And Prize Picks is the absolute best place to get real money action while watching your favorite sports. Prize Picks also offers a variety of weekly promotions that can lead to big payouts, and it will come as no surprise to you at all to find out that my favorite weekly promotion is Taco Tuesday, when Prize Picks discounts select player projections up to 25% to provide even more value for your lineups. Make your Prize Picks in less than 60 seconds and turn your sports opinions into real money all season long on Prize Picks. This week, I'm going with Blake Groupie, New Orleans kicker, because I think they're going to have to settle for a lot of field goal attempts against Green Bay's defense, and Josh Jacobs to run wild. The best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup by using code PACKADAY. Prize Picks, run your game. It's that special holiday time of year that we all love, but you know what can make it even better? Going to live games during the holidays. If you haven't been to Green Bay for a December game, you have no idea what you've been missing. Some of my all-time favorite football memories have happened in the snow in Green Bay. As we speak, I'm going through the Game Time app and looking at tickets to Monday Night Football for the family. Not only are there multiple options to choose from, but you can see the exact view and there are multiple super deals to choose from. The best part, their lowest price guarantee, which ensures you get the best price for your seats. All right, I might take that back, actually. There's an even better feature, all-in pricing. You can toggle this feature on so that you're getting the entire cost of the event upfront with no surprise fees at checkout, because guess what? We all hate surprise fees. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets this holiday season with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
I was going to say, yeah, that was something that I really liked to see, is that it was four quarters of really good football. And I feel like that's been something that the Packers have been showing since the bye week. And that's due to the complementary nature of football that we didn't maybe see, especially earlier in the season, where the takeaways we talked about a lot, that we're masking a lot of issues along the defense and especially getting pressure and the pass rush and all of that kind of stuff. Looking up some stats from, you know, week 12 on, which is when the Packers came back, obviously went from their bye week.
Yep.
They have the most sacks in the league. They're tied for the most sacks in the league in that span. They have a top 10 pressure percentage rating in that span. So it's something like, all right, that was the biggest issue with this team. That was kind of the what was keeping you from fully, I think, trusting this team as a complete team, as a real contender, as a team that can make a run in the playoffs in the postseason. And it does seem that the kind of adjustments that Matt LaFleur is so famous for making at the bye week especially kind of spilled over into the defense, and Jeff Hafley figured out some things defensively. And that's what you saw, I think, against the Seattle Seahawks, especially where, like I said, really good complete win, 60 minutes of football, wasn't really close. They were in control of that entire game. And it was because of the complementary nature where you're scoring points offensively, got to 30, great. And then defensively, you're keeping the score low and you're getting pressure, and you have a rookie who is killing it in Edgerrin Cooper and getting his second player, defensive player of the week or rookie of the week nomination. It's all starting to work. And I feel like I've had this discussion with multiple people where I'm like, the Packers are figuring things out right at the right time, just like they did last year. And in Jordan Love's first season starting, you know, you made a playoff run. And so now you have that playoff run experience on top of kind of gelling together at the right time. This is not a team that I think I would want to face in the NFC playoffs at this point. Like, I see the Packers as a very dangerous team.
I think so too. And I'm really intrigued. I was not aware of that top 10 pass rush percentage or win rate and number one in sacks, you said, or since the bye week.
Yeah, 16 sacks. That's tied for number one since the bye week in that span. So
that's very, very interesting. I was not aware, I was not aware of that. And that to me is like, I've been talking about it. It's a prerequisite for this team to be able to rush the passer if they want to have success in the playoffs. They're really doing an unbelievable job, I think, of closing down their deficiencies, because the pressure that you just talked about, and now we're seeing those results, as you mentioned, over the last few 5 weeks. And then middle of the field defense, we had been an issue against against Miami, and then against Detroit. And this past week with Edgerrin Cooper back in there, it was like, oh, now that is actually kind of a problem as well for opposing teams. So they are kind of taking some of their weaknesses and just being like, yeah, we're going to make it so that those aren't weaknesses anymore. And it's getting harder and harder to find pick holes in this Packers team and be like, all right, what can they not do? Obviously they have to put it together. You talked about those four quarter games. I think they need to continue to show that, but I'm with you. I think they're going to be a very dangerous team come wild card and beyond, hopefully.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about a couple other topics really quick here. Just kind of sticking within the NFC North. I want to talk about this Detroit Lions team, because they are getting decimated by injuries right now and really throughout the season. Aiden Hutchinson, there was the report this week that he is trending to potentially still be backed by the Super Bowl. They got to get there first. Right. Carlton Davis, broken jaw. You've got the Ali McNeil out for the year. David Montgomery, MCL injury. And of course, they've got, we could spend the next 30 minutes just talking about the Lions injury list. But how do they overcome a injury list this long and still be competitive in the most important part of the season for what's arguably the best team in football up until this point?
Yeah, it's going to take nothing short of some miracles on Aaron Glenn's part to kind of cover up all of the deficiencies, but he's been doing that for a large majority of the season. I mean, this is a defense that has evolved, you know, from losing Aiden Hutchinson, and then you start seeing this team blitz a lot more. And then that blitz rate has slowly creeped up, because I think basically that's all that they have in their back pocket at this point. When you don't have the guys that you're used to having up front, so you're not counting on getting pressure with four, and the blitz rate has just steadily increased. I think the Lions have like the fifth highest blitz rate right now in the league. The Lee McNeil thing was really the big one. Like, Carlton Davis, obviously, you know, he brought him in as a free agent starting. That hurts. Ali McNeil, I think, is the one that's really concerning to me. Like, I think that they could have weathered a lot more had the defensive interior remained intact. And that's really, really heartbreaking, because Ali McNeil is just also such a great player. He's such an unsung hero on that defense. And if you don't get that push up front, especially when your linebacking core is so decimated, like, that's kind of how they were counting on getting pressure, especially when they were blitzing linebackers. It's, well, we have Ali McNeil in front of them. And right. Not to mention what he can do in run defense and just being very stout up front, taking up space, getting that push. That's going to be really hard to account for. And that's the kind of part where I am concerned for Aaron Glenn. But at the same time, you still have the best safety tandem in the league, Brian Branch and Kirby Joseph. They both like to hit people, which is a lot of fun. So you kind of have to you just have to get really creative, I think, with your blitz packages. And that's something that Aaron Glenn is capable of doing. This is a guy that has come up under guys like Todd Bowles, who are known for their kind of exotic looks, their different defensive fronts, their crazy pressure packages. That's something that Aaron Glenn, he studied under Todd Bowles. Him and Todd Bowles are very, very good friends. So that's something that I'm looking to see from Detroit. How does this all kind of change everything when it comes to, like, how does the Lee McNeil's injury change everything defensively? Can they withstand that? Can the offense continue also to put up a significant amount of points? Because I get, listen, defense wins championships, but just to get to the postseason, if you can score 30 points or more, there aren't a whole lot of teams that are going to be able to keep up with that. The David Montgomery injury sucks. There's no two ways about it, but you still have Jahmyr Gibbs. And you have Craig Reynolds, who can take some of the load off of Jahmyr Gibbs. I'm very interested to see how Ben Johnson kind of accounts for the David Montgomery loss. Do the splits then stop being as even as they've been between the pass and the run? Do you kind of lean more towards the pass because that's where your health is, that's where your strength is? Your offensive line is intact. You got Taylor Decker back. You have Jared Goff playing at some of the best football of his career. And you have Amon-Ra St. Brown, you have Sam Laporta, you have Jameson Williams, you have a resurgent Tim Patrick. Is that because that's the strength right now and that's where your health is? Do we now see this Lions team try to pass the ball a little bit more and rely a little bit less on the run? I still anticipate them using Jahmyr Gibbs. He's such a well-rounded back. He wasn't really used in that north-south way because David Montgomery was so good at that. Doesn't necessarily mean that Jahmyr Gibbs can't do that, especially behind this offensive line. So I'm going to be very interested to see kind of how they adjust down the stretch and if that kind of continues in the postseason as well, because if they're going to get there. It's just, I don't know. I feel so bad, man. They're so much fun to watch. And I still think that they're going to be fun to watch. I think most of everything that they have still on their team, it should be plenty. Yeah. It's the defense and it's that defensive front in particular that really worries me.
I was doing some quick back of the napkin math while you were explaining that in great detail there. And I was looking at their defense in the last two games. They've allowed 79 points on defense, and it really could have been more than that. I think against Green Bay and against Buffalo, and they could have easily given up 50 against Buffalo this past game. So they give up 79 points in two games. In their prior six games, they allowed 83 points. So 83 points in six games, but was almost 83 points in the last two games.
The last two, yeah.
And so, I mean, it's just a night and day difference. I hate to say it because, again, I think from an NFL standpoint, taking the Packers hat off for a moment, you would love to turn the Madden sliders and the injuries to off and just have everyone go out and play their best. I think Detroit built the best roster, whether that would have amounted to a Super Bowl or not. You know, it doesn't always work that way. It doesn't always work on paper, but they were obviously playing tremendous football as well. Arguably the best coaching staff with Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, like you talked about, and, Dan Campbell, what he's doing. Like they had everything going for them. I don't know that any team with that many injuries, especially on one side of the ball on defense, like, I don't know if they can put up that many points in that what they're going to need to in three consecutive games. Like that's a lot to put on Jared Goff, and you have one bad game offensively, and that probably just does it. You're looking for a level of perfection offensively over three games. That's really, really hard. Unless, again, Aaron Glenn can pull a rabbit out of its hat and figure out something to make this defense really work, which I'm not necessarily putting past him. But to me, they go from the unquestioned Super Bowl favorites to, I personally don't know that they're like top three or four on my list anymore. And it's just due to injuries, which sucks for them. While the holiday season is always an amazing time of year, it's also super easy to lose track of your finances and overdo the spending while buying gifts, hosting dinners, or dressing up for holiday parties. That's where Kickoff can help. I discovered Kickoff online while I was looking for ways to improve my credit and quickly found out how easy it was to sign up and how helpful it can be to improve your overall credit. If your credit is under 600, you could jump like 28 points in your first month. You heard that right, your first month. You can start building credit immediately for only $1 in your first month. And if you're still unconvinced, just know that Kickoff has over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store, and 98% of them are five stars. Worry less about your credit and enjoy the holidays more with Kickoff. For a limited time, get your first month free. Go to kickoff.com/packaday today. Hurry for a month of free Kickoff without the C. Get kickoff.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate the offer. Offer applies to new Kickoff customers first month only. Subject to approval, average impact of 28-point increase is first month based on Equifax VantageScore 3.0 changes for Kickoff customers with starting credit below 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payment and credit card activity outside Kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer subject to change. Individual results may vary.
Yeah. And I mean, like getting to the playoffs shouldn't be honestly too hard. I think that that's the other thing to remember too, is like they have Chicago this week. They have the Niners team, a Niners team that could be completely out of it by the time they play them next week. And then they have Minnesota. And depending on what happens in these next couple of games, that is going to be the interesting one. Because you can kind of like they own the tiebreaker of Minnesota right now, but Minnesota wins that game and you're like, okay, that gets rid of that tiebreaker. So then it, like if they both have the same record at that point, it's going to be very, very interesting. And that week 18 game, that's why like it's just it's incredible that the NFC North is as good as it is and that the Lions are not running away with this division already amassing 12 wins. Like I think they just have to be like, man, any other year, like we would be fine and it wouldn't matter down the stretch and we could rest guys. And like I mean they had the division locked up last year, what, week 15?
Yeah, it was earlier 15? For sure. Yeah,
it was earlier. So like I think by this point they had locked up the division, so it was like, okay, they're you know, they were playing for the seeding at that point. But I feel so badly for them because I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. You're right, I do think this hurts the Super Bowl chances again, because defensively, it's just, it's hard to overcome something like that when all of the teams are so good in the postseason. But getting there, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. But there's a huge difference if they get the one seed, two seed, or...
Right, if they get that bye week, like, yeah. I think that like that's the thing is, it, you're playing for that bye week because they know how beneficial that could be. So I hope they get it. I think that would give them a fighting chance, but you're right. I'm no longer as confident. Whereas 2-3 weeks ago, I was like, no one's stopping the Lions. They're getting to the Super Bowl. Yeah, like now I'm just like, oh God, I don't know.
Kevin O'Connell, your coach of the year.
Yeah. It's between him and Dan Campbell, I think. I think how the season finishes out for the Lions will determine, like, if Dan can somehow rally these guys and they win out and they get the one seed, like, I don't know how you argue against that either. But at the same time, like, Kevin O'Connell just complete. I think it depends, and I've talked about this in the discussions I've had. It depends on how you view Coach of the Year. If your priority is guys that kick ass and take names, then it's probably Dan Campbell. Yep. If your criteria leans more of guys that surpassed expectations, then it's definitely Kevin O'Connell. I think both of these guys have a really strong case. I can't say enough about the job that Kevin O'Connell has done, not only, you know, with how well the team has been doing and getting somehow scheming Justin Jefferson open, despite the fact all the attention that is paid to him, but then also having, you know, Jordan Addison develop along. And again, the Sam Darnold thing, we've been over and over again. But I think one of the biggest testaments to how good of a coach and how well-respected of a coach Kevin O'Connell is the fact that you get Daniel Jones signing with them in the practice squad. And you know that they want him, you know, I would think that this is something where he's coming to learn and be a high-quality backup. I expect them to re-sign him next year. Yeah. I think it's the reason that you haven't really seen, so far at least, the fact that they're going to re-sign Sam Darnold, that they're comfortable with letting him walk. I don't know that comfortable is the right word, because I think it's hard to let a guy like that walk out the door. And especially if they do end up like making a real true run, I don't know how you let Sam Darnold walk out the door.
I agree.
But the fact that they're comfortable with it now, or that seems to be the plan, I think, again, is just the biggest vote of confidence that Kevin O'Connell can turn J.J. McCarthy into the future of the franchise. His rehab You know, obviously hasn't been, it's been difficult because he just had another surgery, and that's stunted any sort of development you could do with him. Yeah. So now hopefully you have this off season to develop him, which is why you go out and you try to sign a high quality backup like Daniel Jones, because you don't necessarily know how this is all going to go. But the fact that they're banking on Kevin O'Connell in the future being able to make JJ McCarthy into the future of their franchise, like, How do you argue with that when it comes to these Coach of the Year conversations, when that organization has such like tremendous faith in him and rightfully and justifiably so?
Yeah. I think that decision is going to be the most interesting situation of the entire offseason is what happens with Sam Darnold. I'm with you. I think I've talked to people on the Viking side of things. I've talked to Justin Skato, who's like adamant that they can't go with Sam Darnold, that they got to go with JJ McCarthy. And I think that's the direction it's going to go in. But I'm very intrigued. Like you said, if they like win a Super Bowl, which from a Packers standpoint, knock on wood, they don't. But if they do, like, I don't know how you just are like, yep, all right, thank you for that. But, you know, first right. Super Bowl in the history of the franchise, but see you later. We're going to go with the rookie, or, you know, second year guy at that point. But very, very interested in what happens there. And to me, it's Kevin O'Connell. I do wish Matt LaFleur was a little bit more in the conversation. I'm not talking top two conversation here. Like, I get it. He's not going to win it. I'm cool with that. But like, I'll see like odds of like the top five guys that could win it. And Matt LaFleur's
name. I've been saying that the whole time where I'm like, why is Matt LaFleur not even mentioned? Like, I talked about that very extensively and wrote an article about kind of the Coach of the Year candidates that we felt had the best cases. And I put Matt LaFleur in there. I'm like, I'm not saying this guy should win, but we should absolutely be talking about the job that he's done this year. And I mean, I know it's a year by year award, but like just seamlessly transitioning the team to Jordan Love, seamlessly transitioning and bringing in Jeff Hafley to fix this defense. I mean, that all should account for something. And then obviously what he was able to do with Malik Willis and just the adjustments that he's made. I think that it's just kind of maybe it's not gaudy, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Is like the way that he's such a good coach is it requires a certain amount of understanding of like how hard it is to make adjustments like that, and how hard it is to make adjustments in game, how hard it is to make adjustments week to week, how hard it is to make adjustments at the bye week and really kind of self-scout and fix those problems. That's all stuff that I feel like takes a really in-depth understanding of how this all works. And I just don't know that everybody has that enough to really appreciate how much Matt LaFleur has done. But I do. I absolutely do. He's done a tremendous job this year, especially.
And the hard part, obviously, is he's 0-3 against the two coaches that we just talked about, right? So the two front runners are Dan Campbell and Kevin O'Connell. 0-3 in those three games so far. So it's a tough argument to make for the one, but like we both said, I just wish it was a little bit more in that conversation. I know we got to get you out of here, but really quick, Packers Saints, quick thoughts on this game and where you can see this world heading.
Yeah, the Saints are a weird team, especially when you play them in New Orleans. There's just some, as someone who was in the division for a long time when I worked for the Buccaneers, there's something voodoo-y about the Superdome and playing there. And they, you know, they're playing really well for the interim head coach. I don't really think that they're that big of a threat outside of the weirdness that can happen on any given week. But again, like we were talking about before, I would really like to see just that same complimentary four-quarter football from the Green Bay Packers as kind of they gear up towards what should be a postseason run from the Packers. And I think that, you know, this New Orleans team, I mean, they're decimated by injuries too. They just haven't been able to be consistent, but they're coming off of, you know, they've been playing some good football as of late. So I like, don't underestimate them. Like, I hope this isn't any sort of trap game for the Green Bay Packers, but I also don't think it is, given what we just said about Matt LaFleur.
Have you seen the line for this game?
No, I haven't. What is it?
What's your guess? What's your guess on what the line is?
All right. Well, it's in New Orleans. Yeah.
No, it's in Green Bay. In Green Bay.
Oh, it's in Green Bay. Oh, okay. If it's in Green Bay, then I'm going to go 6.5.
That's what I would have thought, right around there. Packers by 14 is the line.
No,
right
now. Seriously?
Yeah. I was like stunned by that too. Every time I've quizzed somebody on it, they're all right around at like 6.5, 7, maybe 8 points.
Like you get like 3 for having a home game.
14.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It has gone from like 13.5 to 14 and like right in between those two, but like that's where it's at.
That's huge line. Like I said, like the Saints, I mean, yes, they're like, I guess, I don't know. they're starting Spencer Rattler, right?
Yeah, that's the expectation.
Because Jake Haner just is not good. I still can't wrap my head around that though.
I'm taking it. Right. Packers by more than 14. We'll see. We'll talk about it next week, and we'll run it back to see where it came out. Carmen, you're the absolute best. Where can we find all of your incredible work?
Just go to Carmen B on Twitter, X, go to Blue Sky. I'm actually a lot more active on Blue Sky now than I am on X, so go there. And then Instagram as well, and that's where I post all my stuff.
All right. Well, we will definitely all check all of that out. And of course, again, follow her at Carmi V on all the social media, and make sure to check her out over on Fox Sports. The podcast is amazing. You're not going to want to miss it. That's going to do it for Carmen and I today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.